Just gonna let Brother Todd play for a minute. Sometimes it's good just to wait on the Lord a minute. Let Him do what He needs to do. We get in such a hurry, such a rush. Try to put God on a time limit, on a schedule. He doesn't think quite like we think. You get a heart that's so hard, a heart that's so cold, it may take more than a 1 hour service to break through that old fallow ground. May just take some time. Amen. Well, I appreciate God moving this morning. Amen. My brother Todd just continues to play. Why don't you take your Bible and go to Proverbs chapter number 25. Turn me up just a little bit, Brother James. Proverbs chapter number 25. Thank you, Brother Todd. But sure was good music this morning, wasn't it? Good singing, boy. Thank God for that. Thank God for what He's given us in our church. I don't ever want to take these for granted. Amen. When you find Proverbs chapter 25, just hold that and back up just a few pages and find Proverbs chapter number 15. Proverbs 25 and Proverbs chapter number 15. Proverbs, that's right after the book of Psalms. Put your thumb in the middle of your Bible, dead in the center of your Bible, and go to the right, and you'll come to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book in the Bible that will help us in our practical day-to-day life. Proverbs, reading the book of Proverbs, I believe with all my heart, there are two ways to gain wisdom. One of them, James said, to ask God, who giveth to all men liberally. That's one way to get wisdom. But I believe when you couple that with reading the Word of God, that God will make you wise. You can base your life and make decisions, great decisions for your life, right out of the book of Proverbs. You don't even have to get advice from a friend. God's got it laid out right there for you in His Word. I want to look at Proverbs chapter 25, and one of my favorite verses, I've always loved this verse just because I thought it was pretty. Hey, you know, I mean, it's just a pretty verse. I like it. It just sounds good. And, but later on in life, I learned that it's right. By the way, they're all right. Amen. Every word of God is pure. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with the book this morning. And by the way, if you're visiting with us, when we talk about the book, we're talking about the King James Bible. Amen. I heard a preacher say the other day, if your Bible don't say what my Bible say, you may have you a Queen James. Amen. Never heard that one before. I thought that was pretty good. But I want us to look at Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 11. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 11. Where the Bible said that a word fitly spoken is as apples of gold, or is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. I want you to back up to Proverbs chapter number 15 and look at verse number 23. The Bible said, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. A word spoken in due season, how good it is. Now, I want you to take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter number 7. And we won't read it right yet, but I want to talk to you this morning about the importance of our words. The importance of our words. Do you ever stop to think about how important what you say is? Come on, y'all, talk to me. I ain't in here by myself this morning. You ever stop to think about how important the words are that come out of your mouth? I mean, sometimes we would do better just to hush. Amen? Amen. Words are even more important, I think, than maybe we may realize. Words can ruin. Our words can ruin, but our words can also restore. Our words can ruin, but our words can also restore. Our words can break down, and our words can also build up. I don't know about you, but I don't want breaking down words. I want building up word. I don't want to break down your life. I want to build your life. I don't want to drive you further from God. I want to draw you closer to God. Words can destroy. Words can develop. I thought about those words that destroy. I've seen families destroyed over a sentence. Listen to me. I've seen families destroyed over a sentence. I've had them sit across my desk, look their partner in the eye and say, "I don't love you anymore." Some of the hardest words a husband or a wife may ever hear. "I don't love you anymore." They're good words. There's some good words. There's some bad words. But there's some good words. I think "please" is a good word. Amen. There was a day in America where children were taught manners. Amen. We used to tell our kids all the time, "Can I have this? Can I have that?" What's the magic word? What's the magic word? Katie thinks it's "I love you, Daddy." Well, that works too. But "please" is a good word. You know, I still say "please" to my wife. Amen. I treat my wife with respect. "Please" is a good word. "Thank you" is a good word. "Thank you" is a good word. You'll learn to use that word. Quit taking everything for granted. And be thankful for the kindness that people show in your life. "Hey, thank you. Thank you. I held the door for a lady coming out of the store the other day. And I just stopped and I stood there and held the door. I knew she was coming. And she come out and she said, 'Why, thank you.'" I mean, it's like she was shocked to see somebody be polite. Nowadays, you try to be polite, especially if it's a lady, they think you're trying to hit on them. Of course, I don't think she had that idea. She's about 80. Amen. Older I get, though, them 80-year-old women looking better all the time. Amen. "Thank you" is a good word. "Please" is a good word. What about "yes, sir"? Amen. Yes, sir. Some of y'all, it gets under my skin when I ask your kids a question and they look at their pastor and say, "Yeah." I want to just say, not to the child, to you. The reason they wouldn't respect the man of God at the house of God is because they don't respect you in your house. Those good words must be taught. Are we okay? Somebody help me this morning. Are we okay? "Yes, sir" is a good word. "No, sir." "Yes, ma'am." "No, ma'am." Amen. Those are good words. I'll tell you some more good words, some that are a little bit hard to say. "I was wrong." Amen. You know, that's what's missing in most of our Baptist churches. That's what's tearing churches up left and right, because people are so full of pride that they're not able to look a brother or a sister in the eye and say, "I was wrong." Some of you never been wrong in your life. That's why you're going to hell when you die. That's not a joke. That wasn't meant to be one bit funny. It's sad. Never been wrong. Always right. Y'all okay? I was wrong. What about these two words? "I'm sorry." "I'm sorry." You know what? That'll get a big job done right there. "I'm sorry." Amen. I don't mean like sorry and low down. "I'm sorry for what I did. I feel bad for saying what I said, treating you the way I treated you. I'm sorry." Amen. These words are important words. But listen, it's not just what you say, but how you say it. It's not just what you say, but how you say it. Have you ever given somebody a gift that they did not like? And it wasn't what you said, it was how you said it. My wife and children bought me a pair of shoes for Christmas. Where's Katie at? You remember that? They bought me a pair of shoes for Christmas one year. And Christmas morning, I opened those shoes and God is my witness, and the angels in heaven, they can bear witness. Them was the ugliest shoes I'd ever seen. I mean, they were horrible. I opened the box and I was all excited. I wanted a pair of Timberland boots. That's what I wanted. They were some kind of funky dope head shoes. I don't know what you call them. I really don't. Some kind of Skecher things or something like that. And I opened that box and I was excited. It's going to be my Timberland boots, waterproof, Gore-Tex lining, you know, good stuff. I opened the lid on that box and seen them ugly shoes. And God in heaven said, ugh. And I took the lid off that box and I said, thanks. Hurt every one of their feelings. Why? The way I said thank you. They knew by my tone, they knew by my facial reaction, my expression, they knew Daddy don't like the dope head shoes. I looked at my wife and I said, surely to God, y'all got a receipt. She was mad at me for days over that. But I knew them, I wasn't wearing them outside my house. I'd had to wear a blindfold to wear them. So it's important how we say them. Mark chapter number 7. I want to help you this morning. I want to show you. Now, we have here in this story a Gentile. In other words, what's a Gentile? Somebody who ain't a Jew. If you ain't a Jew this morning, you are a Gentile. At this time, the Jews had no dealings with the Gentiles. And this woman whose daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came to the Lord and said, Lord, could you heal my daughter? And you know what the Lord said to her? He said, you are a dog. Amen. And it's not meat that we take the children's bread and cast it to the dog. Yeah. I want to show you the two most important words you'll ever say. She answered and said unto him in verse 28. Say these next two words. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You say, what makes those two words so important? You've got to think about what two words did for this woman's life. Her life was totally changed after she said two words. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Her daughter was healed. Her daughter was healed. Her life was changed. She came in total defeat, walked away in total victory because she was willing to say yes to the accusation the Lord made against her. Yes, Lord. Amen. It even got her recorded in the Bible. I'd say they're pretty important words, wouldn't you? Yes, Lord. Hey, you and I need to come this morning and we need to say yes, Lord. We need to say yes, Lord, to His Word. Amen. You know what she said? You know what this little lady did, Brother Freddie? She came to him and he said, hey, you're a Gentile dog. You know what he said? You're beneath me. You know what she said? Yes, Lord. Some of us have a hard time with this book. We only like the good parts. We don't like the parts that deal with our sin and deal with our old human nature. But you know what we need to do? We need to take the Word of God, whether the sermon's sweet, whether it's full of glory, or whether it cuts us like a new file, we need to take the Word of God and say, yes, Lord, you are exactly right about it. Amen. Amen. We need to say yes to the Word of God. We need to say yes to the will of God. We need to say yes to the will of God. God has a will for your life. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. I can tell you first of all what that will is. The Bible said he was not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. It's God's will for you to be saved this morning. You say, I just don't know if it's my time. There ain't no better time. You ain't never had a better opportunity in your life to trust Christ as your Savior. Amen. We ought to say yes to His Word. Yes, Lord, to Your Word. Yes, Lord, to Your will. Whatever You want for my life. And we ought to say yes, Lord, to His way. The Bible said His ways are past finding out. Well, I'll tell you, man, you know what His way is? It's righteousness. It's holiness. You don't hear much about that in church anymore. Righteousness and holiness. We serve a righteous and a holy God. You understand that? You understand that? I heard a preacher this past week, Brother Craig Edwards. He said something that just blew me away, man. Oh, me and Brother Tony Shirley was sitting there on the pew, and he was talking about justification and Jesus being our justifier and what qualified him to be our justifier. And he got down to the part where Jesus laid in the tomb, and he said, "Do you know why Jesus got up?" And I'm thinking, yeah, power of God got him up. He said, no, he had no sin. Amen. The wages of sin is death. Yes. The sting of death is sin. He took the sting away. Amen. I'm talking about the sinless Son of God. He's holy. He's righteous. And we ought to see him like Isaiah did, high and lifted up. Amen. Amen. You will never know victory. You will never know real fullness in your life. You will never know real joy in your life till you say these two words. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Now, I want to look at three areas in your life where you need to say yes, Lord. Number one, this morning, we need to say yes, Lord, to salvation. Yes, Lord, to salvation. You know what this lady said? Hey, listen to me this morning. Hey, y'all were shouting it out during the singing. Now, what happened to you? Yeah. Wake up this morning. Hey, we need to say, yes, Lord, to salvation. This lady came to him and said, I want you to heal my daughter. He said, you're a dog. She said, amen. 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 You're exactly right. In another passage, the same story, that she doesn't say, yes, Lord. She says, truth, Lord. Truth. You know what she said? You're exactly right. I'm a low-down Gentile dog. I'm so far beneath you, it ain't even funny. But can't the dog at least lick the crumbs up that fall from the children's table? And Jesus said, good God Almighty, I ain't never seen faith like this, lady. Go on to the house, your daughter's healed. Woo! She got what she needed because she said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hey, we need to get in this altar this morning if we're not saved. And we need to say, yes, Lord, I am a sinner. Yes, Lord, I am a sinner. 19 years of my life, I wandered in darkness. I flim-flammed around. I played church. I played Christian teenager. I did all those things. But on New Year's Eve, about 23 years ago, I bowed under a pine tree in the preacher's front yard, and I said, yes, God, you're exactly right. Truth, Lord, amen to what you said about me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, Lord, that's me. There is none righteous, no, not one. Yes, Lord, that's me. For there is none good. Yes, Lord, that's me. For all our righteousness is as filthy rags. Yes, Lord, that's who I am. If you said yes, Lord, to admitting you're a sinner, how many of you this morning would lift your hands in the air and say, yes, preacher, I too am a sinner. If you're saved, you're just a sinner saved by grace. Come on, talk to me this morning. Ain't you glad one day in the midnight hour, the darkest day of your life, under deep, heavy Holy Ghost conviction, you crawled up beside a bed, a kitchen table, in an old-fashioned altar, and said, yes, Lord. Greatest thing you'll ever do in your life is say, yes, Lord. You need to understand you can't save yourself, Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 8 and 9. Amen. Saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. It's the gift of God. Hallelujah. We need to realize I can't be good enough to get there. Well, I'm afraid if I get saved, I can't live it. Neither can I. I can't be good enough no matter how hard I try, but I met one who fits the bill, and his name is Jesus. I met one who is highly qualified to get me from here to over there, and his name is Jesus Christ. And all it took to get me there was just saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, I accept your gift of salvation. Some of you just need to pile up right here this morning. Like Winona, was that it? Why? Wynette, Wynette. Why Healy? Why somebody? Why, why? I got on this altar this morning. And she said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. Yes, Lord, I need the blood applied. Yes, Lord, I admit what I am. Now, Lord, would you save my soul? Yes, Lord, I realize you're the only answer. You're my only hope. You're my only way out. Yes, Lord, I realize church membership ain't going to get me there. Yes, Lord, I realize that baptismal pool ain't going to get me there. Yes, Lord, I believe what you said when you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yes, Lord. Somebody ought to have church with me this morning. Hey, man, I'm enjoying this. I'm glad I said yes, Lord. I'm glad I said, hey, am I right about it? Ain't you glad? Ain't you glad? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Why don't somebody stand on your feet and clap your hand and say, thank God. One day I said yes. One of the most damning words in your life could be a short little two-letter word. No. I don't know how many times we've been out in the street, gospel tract in our hand, have somebody that close to the door of salvation say, not today. Not today. It tears my insides out to think how many of them have already died and gone to hell. You need to say yes, Lord, to salvation. Secondly, this morning, we need to say yes, Lord, to total surrender. We need to say yes, Lord, to soul total surrender. Like little old Samuel did over there in the book of 1 Samuel. You know, his mother had brought him to the priest, and he was laying in the bed one night, and the Lord called him and said, Samuel, Samuel. And he went running in there to Eli and said, what do you want? He said, I didn't call you, boy. And he went back to bed, and he heard him, Samuel, Samuel. And he ran back and he said to the priest, Eli, what, here am I. What do you need? He said, man, you're losing your mind. I ain't called you. Go back to bed. And he got it in again. He went back and he said, man, that must be the Lord talking to you, boy. He went back and sure enough, he heard that voice. Hey, hey, Sam. Hear my Lord, thy servant heareth. Amen. Ain't that what he said? Yeah, I hear you, Lord. I hear you. I thought about Moses. I thought about Moses as he bowed there before that bush that was burning, barefooted before God. And God said, I want you to go down into Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses, just like you and just like me. I don't know if he stuttered. I don't know if he was howie up. I don't know what it was. But he said, I don't even talk good. If I go, they won't believe me. God shot a hole in every excuse that he made. Can you imagine what God says when God's dealing with you about speaking up for him and I just can't do it? And God said, hey, I made that mouth on the front of your face. It doesn't have any problem running on the phone. It doesn't have any problem. They don't have any problem running down on the job. Hey, just open it. Quit making excuses. I'll put my words in there. Woo! God so used this man. Charlton Heston made a movie about it. It's one of my all-time favorites, man. Yes, Lord, to surrender. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. He saw them creatures as they flew around the throne, having six wings. With twain, they did... fly, twain they covered the feet, and twain they covered the face, and twain they flew. I can't wait to see them things, to be honest with you. I just really can't. That's going to be cool. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I get to heaven after I see the Lord after about 10,000 years. I say, can I see one of them things? I want to see one. Amen. That interests me. The Lord said, who will go for us? You know what old Isaiah said? Here am I. Yeah. Here am I. Yeah. Before he said, here am I, he said, I'm undone. You follow the pattern there? Before you can say, here am I, you got to say, I'm undone. That salvation's got to be the way. That's got to be the door. That's the getting in spot. But then we can surrender to God and say, here am I, Lord, send me. Let me sign a blank contract. God, I'll fill my name in at the bottom. You fill in your will for my life. God, here I am. The greatest day in your life after salvation is the day you surrender your life to God. You know what surrender means? I give.
Yes, sir.
I told you this the other night, but when the cop pulls a gun on a suspect, what do they tell him? Put your hands in there. It's a sign of surrender. Some of you will get on this altar this morning, put your hands in there and say, God, I give. I've tried it my way too long. Lord, I have figured it out. My plan ain't going too well. My money ain't stretching far enough. Trying to fix my marriage by myself, God, it ain't cutting it. Lord, trying to raise these youngins by myself, it ain't cutting. God, I surrender my will to your will this morning.
Amen.
That's easy to preach. It's hard to do. Amen. When you give up on your way and you give your will over and give it to God, it'll change your life. You know what some of you want? You're afraid what He might ask you to do. I don't want to sound like a broken record. I know I just preached this the other night. But what God has planned for your life is the best thing you could ever dream of. The very best thing. Do you know what I'm doing right now? My heart's desire. So why do you preach so long? I like it. Why do you travel so much? I like it. I love to preach, Brother Todd. It's better than fishing. It's better than hunting. It's better than anything I know. Amen. It's wonderful. I love it. Why? It's the will of God for my life. Hey, the will of God for your life this morning may be to sit there and shout and back your preacher up. And if you'd try it, you'd like it. Amen. Will of God for your life may be to be a prayer warrior, a soul winner. I don't know what it is. But why not? It's about high time you gave up. Ain't it going to be sad to get to heaven and find out what you missed? Because you wasn't willing to let go of what you got.
That's good.
Jesus told that rich young ruler. He told him about the commandments and all that. And that boy said, I've done all this from my childhood up. I've kept all them laws. I've done all that. Jesus said, one more thing. He said, you want to go to heaven? Go home, sell all you got. I ain't going that far. What's worth happiness and joy? I'd rather have the peace of God in my heart than live in a pup tent. I'd rather have the peace of God in my heart and live with my mother-in-law. She's here this morning. She said, I'm going to pray. You just keep the peace of God and stay where you at. Amen. Yes, Lord, to salvation. What did we say that first yes, Lord was? Yes, Lord, to what? Talk to me.
Salvation.
Salvation. Then after salvation, we need to say yes, Lord, to what?
Surrender.
God, I give up. I give up. Greatest two words you'll ever say. Yes, Lord. Lastly. I said, we ought to say yes, Lord, to salvation. Yes, Lord, to surrender. Let me give you this one. I'm done. We need to say yes, Lord, to our situation. Yes, Lord, to our situation. Would you agree that this little lady in Mark chapter number 7 was in a horrible situation?
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine having a little girl full of a real demon spirit? Can you imagine that? By the way, you say, oh, that don't happen no more. I beg your pardon. They did a special on it on television the other day. They were showing these, and I know I got to quit. Some of y'all already quit, but they showed a special on it the other day, and they were showing these teenage girls, and some of these girls may know about it. I don't know. It's freaky to me. But they're showing those girls that pull their sleeves up, and you know what they've been doing? They've been taking razor blades, not trying to cut their wrist to die, just making little cuts in their arms. Cuts in their leg, and they make them behind where it'd be behind their clothes where mom and daddy couldn't see. And they said it was some kind of disorder. No, it's a demon.
Amen.
You say, Scripture, please? Yeah, go to Mark chapter number 5 and you'll see the same thing where that maniac of Gadara, he has so full of demons, his name was Legion. I mean, boy, this guy was slammed full of demons. And you know what the Bible said? The Bible said that he hid in the tombs and cut himself with stone. Demonic depression, demonic oppression, demonic obsession, it is always leading to self-destruction. That ain't got nothing to do with the sermon. I just thought I'd throw it in. But it's the truth, man. We need to learn to realize and recognize and call these things for what they are. It's not a disorder. It's not a depression. It's the devil. Now, I'm preaching. Listen to me careful. We need to learn to say yes, Lord, to our situation. Her situation brought her to Jesus. Had her daughter not had the foul spirit, she would have never met Him. Stay with me. I don't know what brought you here this morning. I don't know what set of circumstance may have you in the house of God. But sometimes God will take our situation, our circumstance in our life, just to bring us near where He is. And maybe He has you here this morning just so you can meet Him. Yes, Lord, to my situation. Sometimes that's the hardest thing in life you'll do. Lord, I don't know why I have cancer. Let me rephrase that. Lord, I don't know why I had cancer. Is that better? God, ain't she beautiful? Woo! Lord, I don't know why, but yes. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you. Lord, I don't know why I ain't had no carpet delay. Commercial. Mooney's Fine Carpeting and Flooring. The man needs some money.
Yeah.
I don't know why you've got me with no work. I don't know why things are happening the way they are. But here's what I do know. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
I'm not going to quit.
Amen.
Lord, I'm not going to get mad at you. I'm not going to start pointing fingers of blame, but Lord, in my situation, I'm going to say yes to You, and I'm going to look to You, and I'm going to put my trust in You to do whatever it is to bring to pass whatever You're trying to do in my life. Yes, Lord, to my situation. I don't know why I'm here, but You must have me here for a purpose. I'll be honest with you. I probably asked the Lord as much as David Hofford why his little wife had cancer. And I still can't give you an answer. I see some things God has already done through it. He's drawn our church closer together. He's taught some of us to have a prayer life who did not have one. And I believe He's just getting started with her. I believe she'll be speaking to ladies' groups all across this country. I believe she will. She's got a story to tell. Just like that little woman at the well. Come see a man. Woo! In my situation, in my dilemma, in my despair, in my destruction, I bowed before God and said, yes, God. And He brought me out. And He lifted me up. And He healed my body. I got a story to tell. Why? Because I had a situation back up. Oh, huh. Mm-hmm. That's good preaching, ain't it? My son's got a story to tell. How God, he wrote a song about how God brought him out of a coma, set him on his feet again, let him preach a word of God. I've been having y'all pray for him. Not being so confused about what to do, quit praying. Just start thanking God. Amen. He knows what He's doing. He's coming back here in May. He going to graduate and he coming back here in May. He said, I'm going to come home and help my daddy. Hallelujah. Amen. If Cora don't kill him first, amen. Yes to the situation. I'm here for a purpose. I won't quit. I won't get bitter. I won't give up. I'll just trust and wait. I'll just trust and wait. God, I don't know what's down the road, but you do. You know the end from the beginning. So yes, Lord, to my situation. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Todd, would you come? Ashley, would y'all, can y'all come and get us a song this morning? Now, I tell you what. Bibba and Janice, why don't y'all come and sing, When I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. That's what Job said in his situation. When I'm tried, I shall come forth as gold. Listen carefully. I wonder if somebody would get on this altar this morning and say, yes, Lord, to salvation. Yes, Lord, to salvation. I wonder if you'd step out of that pew and come down here and just say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you as my Savior. I repent of my sins and trust what you did for me. I wonder if somebody'd come, get on an old-fashioned altar this morning and say, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord, I surrender my will to you. God, nobody knows better what's best for my life than you do. Lord, I surrender. I surrender my life to you. Or maybe, Lord, I've been bitter. I've been angry. I've been not really understanding. But God, I need to come this morning and as best I can say yes, Lord, to my situation. And I need your help. I need more faith and strength to get through this so that I can say yes, Lord, to my situation. Let's bow our heads before they sing this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. We've went a little long this morning, but that's all right. Football games go into overtime. So let's let God be God this morning. I wonder if there's one here today, just one, who might say, Pastor, I don't know if I died this moment, if heaven would be my home. Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you please pray for me? I won't come to you. I'm not going to drag you to an altar. I won't embarrass you. I'm going to do exactly what I promised. I'm going to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Could you just slip your hand up? God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless your heart. Is there anybody else? Preacher, I don't know if I died right now that heaven would be my home. God bless you, sir. Is there any others? Preacher, I don't want to go to hell when I die. If you can really know this for sure, I'd like to know. I'd like to have that peace in my heart. Please pray for me. Anybody else? God bless you, son. Hey, preacher, I'm saved, but I've never yet surrendered my life. I'm fighting hell by the half acre. And I realize this morning, maybe it's time for me just to give up and let God be God in my life. Please pray for me, preacher. Anybody like that? Hands all over this building. Now look, you know you need to surrender. What's keeping you from it this morning? Thank you so much. Preacher, I got a situation in my life. My marriage, my children, my job, my health, whatever it may be. Preacher, pray. This is hard to go through, but pray I could say yes, Lord, to my situation. God bless your hearts. God bless your hearts. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before you again this morning, thank you, oh God, for the day we bowed our unworthy head and said yes, Lord, to your sweet salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the day when we said yes, Lord, in surrender, Lord, and in our situation. God, you've seen the hands. Every area we preached with, there's needs here in that area. There's some here this morning who are lost. Lord, if they die like they are, they're going to burn in hell forever and ever and ever. Please, Holy Spirit, don't let that happen. I pray, God, that they'd get on this altar, let somebody take a Bible and help them in knowing about their soul. Lord, there's some this morning who said, Preacher, I just need to surrender. It's time I let go and let God. It's time I give up my will to His.
Lord, there were so many who said, "Preacher, I've got a situation. Oh, dear God, I pray, Lord, that you would be the God for their situation, the answer for their prayer. Lord, the need for their necessity, meet it this morning. God, we'll give you honor and glory for what you do. Have your way, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen."